Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have the Grizz in their other studio down in La Paz. Yeah. And right now, we're going to see if we can move around a little bit. We're going to start off with Bruce at Offshore Tackle. And Bruce, why don't you give us an idea where you are located?
Well, I'm in Michigan. I'm at Saginaw Bay, which is known for its walleye area, and just a short drive over to Lake Huron for salmon.
And are you still fishing salmon?
There are some salmon being caught. Seasons are winding down here. This is a multi-season area, and the guys are getting their bows out. October 1st starts deer. October 8th starts duck. And so the guys are still catching fish. There's some guys that don't hunt. The perch are starting to gather up at the river mouths. And we're getting some walleye, and they're getting a few salmon and steelhead yet.
So right now, then, what you're talking about is the rods and reels are going back up in the attic, and the guns are coming down.
Absolutely. Up here, you've got a duck boat, a bass boat, a walleye boat, a salmon boat, and hopefully a job.
Yeah, with all that, guys, you better have a good job, Bruce.
That's for sure, Grizz.
Yeah. Bruce, you do seem to be able to enjoy a lot of different things. And I understand you're going to be going down to Mexico pretty soon. So you get to experience a lot of different things.
I do. It's fortunate that I'm able to travel now. And I put a lot of years in to get to here. But, Grizz, you keep a spot open. I'm going to call you one of these days, and I'm headed your way.
Well, I'm sitting here waiting. I don't get too excited because I don't really know when you're coming.
I'm in the same boat as you are, so we'll.
But you know, you got a place, and we're going to kick some butt on some fish out of here. Fishing's good, I'll tell you that right now.
All right, I love saltwater fishing. I know more about freshwater, but I sure enjoy the salt.
Well, Bruce, why don't you give us a bit of an idea how this year went for you in Michigan, as far as fishing?
Well, we started out with awful winds, and it really kept everybody off the water. We were wondering if what was the reason for it, but it was wind, and then the walleye started going, and lake trout fishing was great. Good salmon and steelhead fishing, real good steelhead fishing out of Lake Huron this spring. And it picked up. Once the weather got good, everything settled out. We had some nice 90-degree weather, and, boy, we caught a lot of walleye and a lot of steelhead and lake trout.
You don't fish, Bruce, a lot of smallmouth up there?
There's a lot of them here. I don't fish for them. And somebody knows how to fish deep water. There are some monster smallmouths in 30 to 50 foot of water out here that have literally never seen a fishing lure unless it was a salmon lure told on a downrigger over their heads.
Really? Not. I figured people would like those.
Bruce?
They'll wade for them in the spring and as the first couple weeks of opening season, but once they drop off the shallows, they go out on these rock humps in deep water, and nobody really bothers with them.
And what's up next, Bruce? You have to wait for the ice to come over for your next adventure. What's up in the next month or two?
The next couple of months is hunting season, and then the guys will be getting their ice shanties and their buckets out and their augers and drilling holes in the ice. It'll be primarily perch and walleye.
Well, I think it's a little too early to talk about ice fishing myself, but we'll get back with you in a couple months and find out more about that. But your part of the world is definitely an outdoors paradise.
It is. The trees are just starting. They're actually behind, which means they're going to catch up real quick. But I'm looking out the back. They're just starting to tinge up now, and we have some beautiful-looking weather coming up, and it's just, I love the fall. I love all the seasons. Okay.
Well, Bruce, besides doing all this world traveling and hunting and fishing, you actually have a business that you run called Offshore Tackle. Do you want to give a quick plug?
Well, I do work for a living. I own a tackle company. We make planer boards and downrigger releases and a couple weight systems, and the website's offshoretackle.com.
Offshoretackle.com. Bruce, we appreciate that report from Michigan, and we're going to be getting back with you before the ice flows on.
All right, Bruce, I'm still waiting.
Okay. Speaking of ice, believe it or not, we're going to go up to Ketchikan, Alaska, where some friends of mine are fishing with Russell Thomas from Clover Pass Resort right now, and we're going to go up to Russell and find out how these guys are doing. Russell, first of all, give us a quick idea where you're located and Are you still fishing?
We are still fishing. We're located all the way down the very southern tip of southeast Alaska, just on the north side of Ketchikan. And it was a little windy and rainy this morning. We had a gust I saw at the airport close to 70 last night. Mm. And so we held everybody in for a few hours this morning. It's still a little bumpy out there, but we got we finally got a few protected spots around here where the boats could get late this morning. And there, I'm watching them right now, standing here at the dock looking out. And there's about 30 boats right out in front of the resort here, all looking for some silvers. And up until just this last day or two, when the weather was pretty good, they've just been hammering the coho. Lots of guys, the limit 6 per day per person, and lots of guys back within a couple hours with their limits. So everybody's having a really good time and catching a lot of fish.
Well, Russell, the really neat thing about where you are is that you can fish this time of the year up there. The Clover Pass is in kind of a unique area. Even if it's blowing hard on the outside, it's a protected area. It's almost like fishing in an alpine lake.
Well, we're located right on a point, and so usually, you know, one set of weather will give you protection on one side of the point, and another set of weather will give you protection on the other, and that's not always the case, but, 99% of the time, you can find a place to tuck back in where there's still a lot of fishing availability and lots of opportunity, and so guys are out, you know, even though the weather's a little inclement today, they're out still fishing, so.
Right. Well, by the way, how are our guys doing up there?
They're doing good. They were chomping at the bit to get out this morning. So as soon as I gave the green light, I haven't seen them yet. I imagine they'll be back a little bit later with some fish.
Okay. And right now, you know, you're fishing until, what, another couple of weeks? Another week?
We'll go a week from Sunday is our last day. So the 2nd of October, and then we'll start putting everything away for winter and getting ready for next year already.
Well, there's not very many places in Alaska that are still fishing, that's for sure. And you've got kind of a unique situation, especially with the silvers that just keep getting more plentiful and bigger as the season comes to an end.
Well, there's been, you know, lots of coho fishing, and there's a hatchery about 20 miles north of here, and a lot of those fish going back to that hatchery. And then there's a number of large natural spawning streams around here that have coho runs in them. And so all of those kind of converge in this area as people are moving back and forth. Or as fish are moving back and forth to those river systems, and we're kind of right in the middle of it all, and it provides great fishing right here at the end of the season, and it's just the perfect little spot.
How big are the silvers right now?
This year they're a little smaller than average. Normally this time of the year they'll average right around 10 pounds, and we're seeing this year about an 8-pound average, which is about what the commercial trollers saw in their fishery, was a smaller average size than they normally do, but they're real plentiful. And just here in the last couple of days, we've started seeing some of the males move in behind the females as they're getting ready to spawn, and they're bigger. We've seen a handful of fish that were over 15 in the last couple of days and a number that were 12, 13, 14 pounds.
Right. Well, as we mentioned before, you know, the Grizz and I are talking about maybe putting a trip together next year to come up and do some filming up there.
Well, we're looking forward to it. We've always loved having your group, and it's great having Nick and Steve and the guys up here right now, and we're looking forward to the rest of you guys making it up again.
Yes, well, for sure. And again, you know, we usually go in July, again in September, but some people, the weather is usually a little better in July, but the silver fishing right now is the best time, isn't it?
It really is fantastic. From about the 1st of September all the way through the month, it's the most popular time of the year for both Clover Pass and our sister lodge, Silver King Lodge, just up the way here a little bit. And everybody's coming out at this time of the year looking for coho, so it's really fantastic.
Well, you know, it's a little bit late to get up there this year, but it's certainly time to start planning for next year if anybody's interested in going up there and checking that out. And they can go to fishtalkradio.com, and then right on the left-hand side, there's a link for Clover Pass Resort. It'll give you a lot of information. And the other great thing about what you do is because you're so close to the Ketchikan Airport and the facilities you have, there's value-wise, there's nothing you can touch in Alaska for that.
So, we'll look forward to seeing you guys again.
Okay, Russell, we appreciate that report, and we're going to be talking to you before next year for sure. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan, and the Grizz is still here, and we'll be right back with you.
Isle Mirada, A 90-minute drive south of Miami in the Florida Keys is known to be the sport fishing capital of the world. Migratory game fish, fishing the flats, inshore, and blue water, the fishing experience is incredible. The Holiday Isle Resort is the premier resort in Isle Mirada and the only resort with a full-service marina. Also, 143 rooms, 7 bars, 3 restaurants, 22 charter captains, and a friendly staff. To book or learn more about your dream trip in the best of the Keys, visit HolidayIsle.com. Have the best at a great price. Mention Fish Talk Radio to get $200 resort credit with a 3-night stay. Call 800-327-7070. That's 800-327-7070 to book this very special Fish Talk Radio package. Call 800-327-7070. That's 800-327-7070. Contact HolidayIsle.com. That's HolidayIsle.com. I wish that I was fishing.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. In our other studio down in La Paz, is we have the Grizz from Adventures South of the Border. And we're going to see if we can move around and see if we can get Chucky on the line, if he'll pick up his phone over on the other side of the peninsula from you, Grizz. But we're talking about what you've been doing underwater. And I understand that you spent a little bit of time over in East Cape fishing with Chucky.
Oh, yeah, I was over there right before I went diving. I was over there for 3 days fishing for tuna. John, I got to tell you, some of the best tuna fishing I ever had. We were tired of fishing by 10 o'clock. Okay. We had our limits. And what we were doing was just filming underwater the tuna coming up and taking the chum. But, I mean, there were just literally hundreds of them in all the way around the boat. It was just great.
Grizz, that sounds like a fishing story. Let's bring Chucky online and see if he can verify that, Chucky.
Oh, yeah, I truly verify that, and I bow to Mr. Grizzly here. The Grizz is telling the truth. And the truth of the matter, John, is that the fishing continues to be good. The tuna are still in different schools, in different places. You go out there, there's tuna. You come in, and there's tuna. And not only that, I mean, of course, there's tuna. There's marlin, there's dorado. But, you know, the tuna fishing has been absolutely phenomenal this season. I got to say, it's one of the best seasons for tuna 2011.
Well, Chuck, here's the best tuna fishing I ever had in my life.
No, I mean it is unbelievable, John. It's so good. You have to take a few days off and go out fishing.
And the thing of it is, I got back in, Chucky. We got back in, and Pedro was there. We made a show of him making sashimi for us. It was so good, that fresh tuna right there. He made it. I mean, it's just great right now. I got to go back down there next week because it's just unbelievable.
Now, you guys are talking about catching all these tuna. It sounds exciting, but, you know, those of us that might be interested in doing something like that, can you give a better idea exactly how that's done? I don't think you put just a bare hook in the water, do you?
No.
You could almost. There was that many of them. Well, I don't know how you caught that great big one, Chucky. You caught it on a lure, didn't you?
No, I caught it on a caballito.
Oh, you caught it on a caballito? That's a small bait fish. It's a green jack, or some call a big-eyed jack. Well, I was down there with Chucky. I was fishing. We fished lures for a while, and then we chummed them in, and we caught them on live bait. It seems like they're on a feeding frenzy that anything you pass through the school, you just drift through the school, and you have 3-4 hookups. As many lines as you got out, you got that many hookups. Isn't that right, Chucky?
That's right. That is correct. I mean, you chum them in, or you pass by with a cedar plug. The little hoochies, they bite hoochies. They're biting on cedar plugs. They're biting on marlin lures. They're biting on feathers. They're biting on live bait, caballitos, like, you know, the jacks or the small jacks or the sardines or mackerel, whatever you throw in the water, they eat.
Well, I think if we went in there, they'd even eat us, Chucky. I never seen anything like it. I mean, they're like piranhas. We were in one patch where there were five different species of dolphins there, and porpoise and that everywhere. I mean, the dolphins were just phenomenal, and the tuna were just jumping right next to them. And I mean, a couple times I actually thought they were going to jump into the boat.
Yep.
Well, sounds like a fish story. But besides tuna, is there anything else out there?
Yeah, there's Dorado, there's marlin, blue marlin. We got into nice. And, of course, the marlin are right behind the tuna. They're eating tuna. So, I think we're going to see big marlin being caught this October in the Bisbees in Cabos, because there are a lot of tuna and there are a lot of, and behind the tuna are the big marlin. So,
the big marlin eat the big tuna.
The big marlin eat tuna, and mm-hmm. they eat a lot of them.
Okay. You know, I just make a quick comment. A couple of weeks ago, maybe it was less than that, some friends were down, and their first billfish was a blue. They went out the next day, but I mean, when their first billfish, I mean, the first they'd ever caught in their life, and then they went out the next day and they got another one, and they just thought that's the way it was. But I've been fishing down there for 25 years, and I think I've got one blue total, so it sounds like there's a lot of them around.
Well, right now is the time of the year where the blue marlins are, I mean, right now the water temperature is perfect for them. It's really warm, really nice, and there's lots of bait in the water. So there's a lot of blue marlin in the area. The stripers are kind of weak right now, but there are striped marlin too, and sailfish. But blue marlin, of course, that's the nice one to catch, you know. So there's Dorado also. I mean, there is Dorado. There is rooster fish by the shore. There is still shore fishing. There's rock fishing, you know, fish. And so there's lots of fishing, not only tuna. I mean, there's lots of species and lots of them. So, I mean, whoever wants to target tuna, there's tuna. Whoever wants to target marlin, there's marlin, Dorado. I haven't seen any wahoos, but you never know when they're coming in.
Well, that sounds very exciting. And Grizz, real quickly, give us an idea what else is going around down in Baja.
Well, the best place right now, as I have to say, is down at Chucky's. I mean, it's just phenomenal down there. However, up in the Punta Arena, they're catching a lot of tuna. Not the size that Chucky has down there, probably 10, 15 pounders. Dorado up there. La Paz has got a lot of Dorado, small stuff. It's around 15, 20 pounds. No one really is going after the marlin. I know they're marlin there. They're seen. They're up around the Bajo. I know that's happening up there, but, you know, being a lot of people like to fish for table fare, they don't really go for the billfish, John.
It all depends, and I know you certainly like the billfish. There's no doubt about
that.
Well,
for me, that's the maximum. A billfish for me, that and a rooster fish for me is the best fishing in the world as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Well, now, right now, the hot spot is Van Wormer Resorts. It's absolutely on there. It's better than anywhere right now.
Well, it does seem to be that La Paz is okay and Cabo has been okay, but right in the middle, it is Cape. That's where they've been collecting. And you said there's a lot of bait in the water there?
Yeah, there's a lot of bait. There's a lot of things. I don't know, Chucky, are you still on?
Yeah.
I haven't heard of any of the big squid. Are the big squid in, or did they come in yet?
Not yet. They're not in yet.
Well,
but I mean, that's what I'm telling you, John. It's the squid's not in. Bait fish are everywhere. You see bait balls everywhere. Right now, right in front of Chucky's place, it's got to be the best place in the world. And I'm not just plugging Chucky because he happens to be one of my best friends. It's the truth. The Grizz doesn't give BS on that, on fishing tips. And it's right out in front, 3 miles off the coast, right in front of your hotel at the Van Wormer Resort. You can start catching big fish.
Chucky, in about 6 weeks from now, I think toward the first weekend in November, we're going to have a few people coming down with us and fishing with you. And I'm assuming the fishing is just going to keep getting better and better until then, right?
The fishing will continue until the latter part of November. And then when the water starts cooling down, then that's when the moves, they begin moving out.
Okay.
You know, normally during that period of time. The fish that are going to stay in are striped marlin or you know, come in more right. Striped marlin. Dorado is a year-round fish. And then we'll start getting the Sierra, the
Yellow Tails,
and all those.
Okay, if anybody wants more information, go to fishtalkradio.com, and right on the front page it has Van Wormer Resorts, and also go to Real Fun Adventures while you're in that website and sign up for our November trip. Chucky, we appreciate having you on.
Thank you very much, John.
Okay, hey, Grizz, let's move a little bit farther south. We've got Mark on the line all the way down in Costa Rica, and he's probably in San Jose overlooking both the Caribbean and the Pacific Ocean right now. Mark, give us an idea where you are and what's happening down there.
I'm right here in San Jose, the capital, which is basically, almost halfway between both the Pacific and the Caribbean.
Okay.
Good fishing on each side right now, especially North Pacific, billfish, tuna. Not as many Dorado this year. Since the beginning of the year, there have been in recent years, but I suppose that's just fishing.
Well, you know, I think that's happening everywhere. I didn't see as many Dorado as I did last year or the year before up here in Mexico either. So I think it's something that's happening right now. Maybe next year it'll make up for it and it'll be three times. But up here in Mexico either, it hasn't been that many Dorado.
Yeah, that's what we've been seeing all through. On the Caribbean side, the tarpon season is starting in earnest, and come end of October should be a pretty good stick bite.
Mark, we were just talking to...
Costa Rica is another great place for any kind of tourism.
Okay. Mark, we were just...
Ecotourism, you want to see volcanoes, you want to windsurf, whatever you want to do.
Mark, we were just talking about the season down in Baja. Well, they're going to be winding up, but you're just turning into full force. So now is the time to get down to Costa Rica. If somebody wants to do that, I would suggest they go to fishtalkradio.com once again, and right on the front page of the website, just click on where it says, is it Americana Sport Fishing?
That's correct. Americana
okay.
Sport Fishing, Fish Costa Rica.
Fantastic. Thank you, Mark. We appreciate that coming in. And Grizz, you stay there because we're going to be back with you. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.
Considered the finest long-range sport fishing vessel in the world, the Royal Polaris is based at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Fishing the Royal Polaris provides unmatched service, speed, and comfort. Live the dream of landing giant yellowfin tuna, wahoo, and summer albacore. Still the fastest long-range sport fisher in the world at 113 feet, the Royal Polaris offers first-class staterooms, refrigerated fish storage, the latest in electronic fish-finding gear, and unmatched expertise. Live your dream for less money than expected. Visit RoyalPolaris.com.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
The boss is looking for me. He says it's time to go to work, but I am out on the sea. Please leave your message for me. Gone fishing. Yeah.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and a little bit our other studio south of the border is the Grizz. But right now, Grizz, we're going to move up into one of the California lakes. And I believe we have Chelsea. Oh, gosh, how'd that happen? Sorry. We have Chelsea on the line with us. And Chelsea, can you give us a little bit of an idea of what we're talking about, where it is, and what's happening this time of the year there?
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for having me. So Lake Nacimiento and Lake San Antonio are two lakes about 18 miles long each, and they're out of Paso Robles in Central California. And we offer everything from camping to lodges. We have a restaurant. We have great fishing. You can bring your boat and go wakeboarding. So we have everything that we can offer. The fishing's been really great at both lakes. Stripers have been boiling around the dams in the mornings and the evenings at both lakes. Or, sorry, just San Antonio. San Antonio only has stripers. And then Nacimiento has been catching a lot of spotted bass. So a lot of great fishing. We actually have a bass tournament at Lake San Antonio. It's our first annual, and we have a tagged fish worth $25,000 swimming around in the lake, and that's on October 1st. And we're really excited for everyone to come out and hopefully have their shot at catching that $25,000 fish.
Cool. Well, let's see if we can get some people there. Chelsea, we were talking to Bruce in Michigan just a little bit earlier in the program, and they're getting ready to put their rods and reels away and go hunting. But you don't have that problem out in the, where you are in California. You're not too far from the ocean, and you're kind of pretty much in the middle of the state. What is the season there? Can people fish there year-round?
Definitely. People can fish year-round. So, yeah, we have anglers coming out in the middle of winter. But, you know, in California, it could be 90 degrees in January. So, yeah, definitely fishing all year-round.
Right. And I know that there's it really is a tremendous facility because especially Nacimiento, I guess, is well known for their water sports in addition to fishing.
Definitely. Definitely. We have a lot of skiers and wakeboarders that come out, and we have a bunch of arms, so you could always find clear glass no matter what time of the day it is. So, yeah, big, big lake and great fishing, great water sports at both of the lakes.
And I know that, you know, certain times of the year the water level can go up and down, but this year it's been staying near capacity, hasn't it?
Yes, it was 100% full in May, and right now it's about 70, and summer's over, so we're expecting it to start raining soon and to fill right back up. So, yeah, definitely a really full lake in comparison to some of the other years where it's been lower, but really full this year, so great conditions.
Well, if anybody is thinking about, you know, heading out and doing some camping and some fishing, and, you know, you don't have to worry about it being too late. It does get a little cool there at nights in the wintertime, but it's a great facility. And you've got some great facilities there if people don't want to go camping too, correct?
Correct. We have lodges. We have about 20 lodges at Lake San Antonio and Lake Nacimiento. We have trailers and mobile homes. So depending on, you know, your range of camping, your life of camping, you can either be in our lodges or you can be in the trailers. And
that sounds like fun to me. I'll go camping in the lodge.
Perfect. And then you can go down to the restaurant and, you know, eat there so you don't have to cook yourself. So, yeah.
Oh, that's what I call camping. King size bed?
Yep. King size
okay, that's camping for me, John. I'm going.
There you go.
There's a fireplace in it as well. So.
Oh, man, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, well, keep that in mind. You know, as things start cooling off in different parts of the world, and especially if you're going to do a road trip, that would definitely be a great stop for you. Now, Chelsea, if someone wants to get some more information, I know that you guys are part of a larger organization, but if they want to key in on Nacimiento San Antonio, how do they do that?
The best way is to go on our website at nacimientoresort.com. So omit the lake, and it's just nacimientoresort.com. And then San Antonio is lake. SanAntonioResort.com. That's the best way. We have all of our prices for our lodges and our marina up on the website. And then you can also follow us on Facebook. We have daily specials. We have discounts that are all posted on our Facebook. And it's Facebook/LakeNacimientoCA and then Facebook/ Lake San Antonio.
There you go. I'll tell you what, if anybody can get all that down in one shot, give me an email, send it to john@fishtalkradio.com, and if you can spell Nacimiento correctly the first time, we're going to come up with a prize for you.
perfect.
What about me?
Good luck. There's no, I'm safe on that one. Anyway, Chelsea, we appreciate you coming on and give us that great information.
Thanks for having me.
Alrighty. Grizz, what we're going to do right now is something that I'm sure that you're excited about. Let's go fishing for great whites.
Oh, yeah. I like that with a fly rod.
We have Chris Duba of the Silver Fox that operates out of the San Francisco area. And Chris has a Silver Fox, of course, is a open party sport fishing boat. But Chris, give us an idea of some of the stuff that you're doing with that right now.
Yeah, you bet, John. Mostly what we're doing, we're finishing out our salmon season right now here. It's been very good. However, we'll be offering great white shark tours. We're not fishing for them. We're just observing them in their natural habitat out at the Caroline Islands.
Well, that is something we want to hear a lot about because, you know, that's certainly a buzzword, great whites, being able to get up close and personal. Give us an idea about what you do. And first of all, how close can you get to them?
Well, sometimes we've had them close right within 5 feet of the boat. We leave Fisherman's Wharf early in the morning. We get out to the Farallon Islands, and we set up anchor, and we do a nature tour also of the island, of the Farallon Islands. And then we basically sit there, and we've had about a 72% sighting rate at the islands. We will have cameras below the boat, so you don't have to get in the water.
Good idea.
And cameras also on our towers and stuff, so observing any jumps and possible attacks that do come in the vicinity.
Well, if you're going out to that area off the Farallon Islands and your success sighting rate is 72%, there must be a lot of great whites out there. Is it particular times of the year that you go? Breeding time,
yes,
or something?
Yes, it is. It's very seasonal. We did have to renew our permit to be there. And they start coming in pretty much in August, and they're there quite a bit in September. And the month they're there mostly, as we travel the most research and satellite tags, is October is the biggest month, which is also our best weather month.
Wow. Well, of course, when you say good weather in San Francisco, I'm not sure exactly what that means. It means the sun comes out for a little while?
Well, our swell comes way down in the fall, and there's usually not as much fog out mm-hmm. at the Farallon Islands.
Mm-hmm. And how far are the Farallons out from the bay?
We travel about 27 nautical miles from the Golden Ape Bridge.
Mm-hmm. And when you're not trolling for great whites, I know there's some other great fisheries out at the Farallon Islands, correct?
Yes, there is. There is great. There is the MLPAs, of course, that we totally consider, but our salmon fishing right now has been excellent. We're just about a fish, just short of limits most times.
Okay, and those are kings, right?
Those are king salmons, and we're also fishing along with the sport fishing boat Lovely Martha.
Mm-hmm. And there is a season for those also, and when does that close?
Our salmon fish will be closing at the end of October.
Okay. Well, if anybody's up in the Bay Area listening to us, you might want to get on that. And if anybody is interested, there's not very many people that have seen a great white up close and personal. We do talk to whale watchers, and I know you guys have good opportunity for that up there. And some whales in particular, like the blues, most people never get an opportunity to see because they are the biggest critter that ever lived. Now, a great white, is there any shark or, you know, I guess that reaches a size similar to a great white?
Well, we've seen the great whites up to approximately 20 feet long there at the islands, and your sighting of the whales at the Farallon Islands is also pretty good. As you well know, we're fairly close to the continental shelf.
Well, Grizz, I'm assuming that you'd rather see that great white on the camera instead of getting in the water with it.
Well, I don't care. I'll go in the water with it. Well, I won't. I'll send my divers. That's what they do. I pay them for that.
Yeah.
Well, there also are boats, the Superfish, that does offer cage diving for the great white sharks, and I also highly recommend that boat also.
To do that. That's something I'd really enjoy doing, I think.
Sure. We'll be offering them, working along with Superfish and Captain Mick, and you can book a shark cage that dive with them. We're just mostly on the deck. We see everything above deck and on the cameras.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, we know great whites are dangerous. Most sharks, if I understand, you don't really have to worry about. They don't go after you. And great whites, from my understanding, is usually they do not go after swimmers and divers unless they get kind of mistaken and they get bit by accident. Does that sound about right?
Yes, that is correct, John. They're mostly after the elephant seals with about, 1,000 pounds of blubber, then they're more interested in a couple hundred pound human being.
Okay.
That's for sure. And it's mostly mistaken identity.
Well, Grizz, you better be careful.
What happened with that, John and guys, the Jaws show, the Jaws series of put the fear into the people, give really sharks a bad rep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm out there fishing with them all the time. We've never had a problem. We have divers go in with the hammers. We've never had even a slight problem.
Okay, well,
it's television that does it.
Grizz, we're going to have to give Chris just a quick second to give us contact information.
Sure, you bet. You can contact us at our website at SFSportFishing.com.
SFSportFishing.com. Chris, that was awesome, and we'd certainly like to get out there and try that. I appreciate that, and if we're up in there this time of the year, we'll do that. Thank you, Chris. We really appreciate you tuning in to Fish Talk Radio, and we're going to be back with you next week. But remember, go to webtalkradio.net, and you listen to this and any of the previous shows. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.